Hey guys, good evening. It is John C. Morley here, serial entrepreneur. I told you we're catching up on our content here. It looks like we're almost totally caught up. So great to be with you guys this morning. If you're here on the West Coast, be 9:49 p.m. and on the East Coast is 12:49. So very grateful whether you're here at 12:49 a.m. or 12:49 p.m. in the afternoon, or whether it's perhaps 6 a.m. or 6 p.m. or maybe even, I don't know, maybe it could be 1 a.m. or 1 p.m. Whatever. Thanks so much for being here. We're going to dive right into the show because I know you guys definitely want to see that. And I have to charge my hat up again because I haven't charged it in a while. I definitely have to do that tonight. So if you guys look here, it'll take a second for my hat to come on. And my battery might be totally dead this time. Yep, looks like it's totally dead. All right, so we have to definitely charge it. So again, check out BelieveMeAchieve.com for more of my amazing, inspiring creations. Definitely just scan the QR code. Normally be on my hat, but looks like my hat kind of went dead because I haven't charged it in a couple days. Anyway, do want to thank you for being here. And we're talking about the master topic of what is an opportunity, right? We had that great speech. Do you guys remember? We had the great speech about opportunity and the hockey players. Do you guys remember that? We talked about it a few days ago. Well, it was by Kurt Russell. And I'd like to read it for you again. The Miracle on Ice pregame speech. Great moments are born from great opportunity. And that's what we have here tonight, boys. That's what you've earned here tonight. One game. If we play them 10 times, they might win 9, but not this game. Not tonight. Tonight, we skate with them. Tonight, we stay with them. And we shut them down because we can. Tonight, we're the greatest hockey team in the world. And you were born to be hockey players, every one of you. And you were meant to be here tonight. This is your time. Their time is done. It's over. I'm sick and tired of hearing about what a great hockey team the Soviets have. This is your time. Now go out there and take it. And guess what? They won. All right, so let's get right into this. The master topic of the evening, the granular topic, I should say, of the evening is Opportunity Unlocked, Mastering the Art of Seizing Success, Series 3, which means we're in the third year, Show 16, and Episode number 5. That's pretty wild, guys. Very, very wild. So opportunity isn't something you just do one day in your life. It's something you keep doing every single day. It's something you keep doing. And you do it not because you have to. You do it because you want to. See, that's the important thing. And I think a lot of people just don't get that. They don't get that. Why? Maybe because they've seen people have challenges. Maybe it's because what they've done has done nothing for them. I mean, nothing. Nothing. Absolutely, absolutely nothing. And why? Because they followed what other people were doing. And not because that was bad, but because it was what seemed right at the time. At the time, it seemed what was right. And that might be a hard thing to swallow. But you have to be what is. And if you know that, then you'll be able to understand and harness opportunity. So everyone has the ability to access opportunity. Everyone has the potential to be successful, but a lot of people aren't successful. They're not. And again, it's not because they don't have the potential. It's usually because of one thing. It's because they don't believe in themselves. Don't believe in themselves. And if they don't believe in themselves, how are other people ever going to believe in them? Like, being honest, like, how? Like, how's it even going to be possible? All right, we're on factor seven right now. And factor seven of being able to harness an opportunity is prior knowledge. Prior knowledge. And prior knowledge is a pretty interesting thing, right? Pretty interesting thing. And I think just knowing that can make all the difference in your life. When you have people on your team and they support you, that's not just something we see, it's something we experience in life. It's something we experience in life. And if it's something we experience in life, then I feel that it could be pretty amazing. And if it's pretty amazing, that means it will yield a lot of results. A lot of results. So knowing that one of the biggest things of harnessing opportunity is prior knowledge. If I was going to teach you something, I first want to learn a little about you, just a little bit, so that I could tailor my lesson plan to start talking in terms of something you're interested about. Something you know already, something you have a baseline on. And when I do that, something interesting is going to happen. You're going to resonate with it. You're going to understand it. But then when I throw a new point on there and I link it to that, guess what? You're going to remember that point. You're going to remember that point. Easier than if you study the hours. You're going to remember it. So I want to tell you that it's important, ladies and gentlemen, to get knowledge. And I guess when you can understand prior knowledge, then you know why some people just soak up information. It's because they have a good foundation. So let me give you a perfect example. Foundations for laying tile, good and bad, right? Good and bad. People say, what's the best base for tiling? There's tile backer board. There could be the preferred ceramic tile underlayment, right, with the backer board. Concrete slab or concrete screed is a good tile underlayment. Poured concrete screeds. There is laying tile on mud. And so the way this gets done is you have the wet mortar and you basically lay the tile down on that. And it was the old school tradition of mud setting tile. It has advantages in many situations. And there are times when you should use it. Mud has been a method of setting tile since the beginning of the ANSI, A-N-S-I, standards of A108. A standard where it's known by term as a wet set. And the only way tile was installed prior to the mid-late 1950s in America, the traditional old school, was the wet set method. Tile was placed into tubes of water and allowed to soak in order to fill the body of the tile, which was generally white body or red body clay. And the mud beds were mixed and placed and screeded, but not fully compacted. And the installer would then get onto the beads, or the beds with the knee boards, and use a neat or pure coat of Portland cement, either mixed with water to a cream or dusted onto the flesh plastic mud bed. There's also something called a thick set mud, right? The thick set mud is the other term used. Thick set. And it's differentiated by the mud work method from the most common method of installing today. So these concepts might be a little bit baffling, but if you start understanding how you would install tile and then I teach you something new, it would stick better. So why do we mud floors? Well, sanders still muds most of the floors it sets, and there are many methods using mud in the TCNA handbook for ceramic, glass, and stone tile installation. But sanders goes to methods for floors are TCNA F111 over concrete and method F141, the primary method for setting over plywood subfloors. Both of these methods use a 2x2 wire reinforcement in the mud beds that are unbonded to the substrate. And the basic outline of a mud floor project is pretty much you got a plan. You create a path with ramps from mixing station that a wheelbarrow can basically move over and then through to move the mud to the floor. And you mix design for floor mud is really important to understand the design process. Due to many local markets, they had to adjust over the years with help from local material vendors. And Sanders said, and I quote, "We also use a premix mud in a bag." So laying mud floors is not easy, but it seems to be very reliable and durable. So one thing I want to say is don't assume old techniques work with new technology because they don't. The problem in this comes when we embed into our industry and hand down with the right intention, but not much thought as to why we're doing something. And it wasn't until we figured out the direction of troweling with thin set mortars. So this just gives you one idea. And I think if we can understand this, we'd understand what Woody Sanders, founder of DDW Sanders, says to Highland Stone in 1994. Following the footsteps of his grandfather, A.W. Cook, who started his tile contracting business in 1929. He grew up in the tile industry, becoming a journeyman tile and stone setter at a young age. In college, he focused on the study in regard to the School of Environmental Design. After college, he worked as a technical service manager for a mortar and grout manufacturer before starting his own tile contracting company. So there is lots that we need to know when we lay tile. I think one of the biggest things I always like to say is there's a challenge with the way you have to cut everything so precisely, right? So the next thing I want to talk about, which is our next point, it's point eight for factors of opportunity, social networks. What social networks are you going to be able to leverage by now having this opportunity? Think about that for a moment. And I think if we understand how communication works, which is a whole other lesson, social communication, be it online, be it in person, it's a very big part of how we grow. And what do I mean by that? So tonight I was talking with a lady, and she was actually one of the owners of this company, and we're talking, and I said to her how many years ago we used to buy product from their company. And I told her how long we were shopping there and how I remember the store was like this. She said, we haven't been like that since 2004. So we stopped, 2010. I said, well, we stopped buying from you in 2004 because we had sold our home in South Jersey. And we had a very nice conversation. You see, when we're not trying to do anything, we're just maybe having a story, not trying to sell anything. We're just trying to literally connect with people, but in a natural, genuine way. I have one more point, ladies and gentlemen. That's factor nine, external environment. See, the external environment is very key to how you will choose to act and also react in life. It's the key. And if it's the key, then I feel life can be different for everyone. Life can be different for everyone. And if life is different for everyone, then how is that gonna work? I think it comes down to saying that if life works a certain way, you know what's gonna happen. You know that it's about who you are. It's about why you do something. Okay. It's about why. And if it's about why, then you'll start to understand what's going on. But people sometimes get lost with why. And I think this happens for the main reason that life is different. Life is different. And if life is different, then how do we decide to move forward? How do we do that? I think we decide when we start to see how it makes a difference in our life. And that rest is absolutely something that will not only give us rest, but will prime our pump to be able to have new connections in life. I think it comes down to the fact that you have to know what's going on. If you understand how things work, and you understand, like this conversation I had today, I had no idea what the conversation was going to be about. Not even knowing what they did. And all I knew was I got this card. And the card said the name of their business. And I told the story. Now, she didn't know that I was a customer. My parents were customers for many years. She didn't know that. But it started to open up a doorway into potential, the fact that we both want to connect with others. You see, connections, everybody wants to connect because they want to make money. But what we want to do is connect with people because we want to help them become better versions of themselves. I have a mission at our charity that I'm president of, philanthropy first, business second. Why? Well, obviously it's the right thing to do, but when you're in a network and you're philanthropic, and other people are philanthropic, and they see that, they want to be with you. They want to work with you. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm John C. Morley, serial entrepreneur. It has been an amazing privilege. Of course, you know, it's been a pleasure, a privilege, an honor to be with you this fantastic night or morning. And I'll catch you guys on another show real soon. All right, everyone, have yourself a wonderful evening.